نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب الإيمان: باب حلاوة الإيمان. حدثنا محمد بن مثنى قال حدثنا عبد الوهاب الثقفي قال حدثنا أيوب عن أبي قلابة عن أنس، يعني أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه، عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان، ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان: أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما، وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله، وأن يكره أن يرجع أو أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. والحديث رواه مسلم في صحيحه والإمام أحمد في مسنده ورواه الترمذي والنسائي بألفاظ متقاربة. والحلاوة هي اللذة التي يجدها الإنسان في فمه إذا طعم شيئا حلوا مثل التمر والعسل والسكر وغيرها، وضدها المرارة. وحلاوة الإيمان هو ما يجده العبد المؤمن في نفسه حال إيمانه بالله ورسوله واستقامته على الحق. وحلاوة الإيمان معين على الاستمرار على العبادة والطاعة والاستقامة. Dear brothers and sisters, الإمام البخاري narrated in his صحيح in a hadith which can be roughly translated as: there are three qualities, whoever has them shall taste the sweetness of Iman. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else. To love a person only for the sake of Allah. And to hate returning to infidelity, that is kufr, after Allah has saved him or her from it, as he or she would hate to be thrown into the hellfire. And in this hadith, it is talking about the sweetness of Iman. And sweetness is something which we taste using our tongue, and it is what we see when we eat dates or figs or sugar or honey. So that is sweet, which is, I think, most people love the taste of. And opposite to that is the bitterness. So sweetness versus bitterness. And the sweetness of Iman is what the servant of Allah finds in his heart or her heart when they are on the straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and performing what a Muslim should perform in terms of salah, zakah, moral conduct, high moral conduct, looking after the needy and the poor and the orphan and the widow, etc. The hadith, and of course the importance of finding that sweetness of iman, is to help to steadfast, to remain within the boundaries of iman. So if you enjoy something, then you will continue to do that matter. If you, for example, enjoy doing your degree, then you get up early, you go to your lessons, you do the exercises, you go to the workshops, you do the whatever is necessary, and then you will find that very easy. And then, inshallah, you can achieve very high marks. If someone does not like what they're doing, then they are very lazy getting up in the morning, they are reluctant, they don't, cannot concentrate within the, during the lecture, etc. And then, towards the end of the year, even if they pass, they may not get the highest degrees. And in Islam, we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And if we find the taste of iman, then that will help us love to do more and more and ascend in the grades and degrees of iman. Three qualities. So it is made very simple, and it's summing up the qualities that one should have in order to achieve that sweetness of iman. The first one, أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما, is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else, and of course more than anything else, more than your parents, more than your children, more than your close friends, more than your business, more than your wealth, more than your house, more than your smart car, more than anyone else and anything else. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger more than anyone else and anything else. That may be obvious, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you from nothing. خَلَقَكَ مِنْ عَدَمْ وَرَزَقَكَ مِنْ عُدْمْ. He brought you into life from nothing. And He gave you what you have in terms of wealth, in terms of knowledge, in terms of all the bounties and rizq that you can see. He gave you eyes to see, He gives you the ability to hear, He gives you the ability to talk and to walk and to interact with the society around you. You were brought into life and life was already there. I mean, earth was prepared for you before the first man even came down on the earth. The heavens were prepared for you, the sun, the moon, the vegetation, the animal kingdom was there for you. And all of these qualities, the qualities of ar-rububiyyah, makes you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you definitely makes you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else and anyone else. And this is what بعض العلماء يقولون عطاء الربوبية. The generosity of Lordship is giving you, regardless of your deen or iman, is giving the believer and the others alike. Also, you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that, and because He is the one worthy of worship. He is the creator. He is the one who gives life and takes it away. He is the one who gives knowledge. He is the one who gives rizq. He is the one who holds the keys of heavens of earth. So He is the one worthy of worship, and He is the one alone to be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أغنى الأغنياء عن الشرك عن الشركاء. He does not accept any partnership. he is to be worshipped alone. And if someone worships someone with Allah, Allah will leave him with the other partner, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أغنى الشركاء. To love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else and anything else is obvious, because he is the messenger of Allah. He is the one who was sent by Allah to show us the right path, to guide us after being astray, and to teach us after being ignorant, and to take us from the darkness of kufr to the light of iman. And in the hadith that is narrated by Al-Bukhari, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you will be a believer or a complete or a perfect believer until I become more beloved to him from his own father and his son and all the people. But to claim that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else will stand to be a claim until fortified by action. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. The proof of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fellowship of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so follow me, Allah will love you back. And that is the fruit of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by doing so, Allah will love you. And that is what is important. Because many people may claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from outside Islam, and to love Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within the Muslim Ummah. But to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate goal which we seek. So we need to follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his orders, to avoid what he asked us to avoid, to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to perform our five daily prayers, to perform them in a masjid or a musalla if we have access to perform them on time, to purify ourselves, make tahara before that, and to follow the pillars of Islam, to follow the akhlaq, the high moral conduct that a Muslim should attain and have. These are indeed the proof of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Say, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they turn away Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the disbelievers. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. So that is, dear brothers and sisters, the first quality to attain and achieve the sweetness of iman. أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. The second one is أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. Now the first quality is indeed the fundamental quality, that if we follow everything else will be okay. But these two qualities, the other two qualities, are actually a branch from the first one. And this second one is a real test for loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله. To love a person only for the sake of Allah. Now, love is a tendency that we have in ourselves. It is attributed to the heart, it is attributed to some feeling that can or cannot be explained. Can be a result of three things. The first one is instinct. And the nature, and the fitrah. A mother loves her children. That's fitrah. That is by instinct. A father loves his children, and his parents, and his brothers and sisters, naturally. A man would love his wife, and vice versa. That is by instinct. The second one is to love someone because there is a benefit from that person. There is a colleague of yours, he is very nice, he is good in a specific subject, and he comes and helps you with the exercise. And you feel that you love that person because he is helpful. You may work for a manager and or for a company, and the people there, they are good, they help you with your work, and alhamdulillah, you think that you have a stable job. So you love them, etc. But the quality that is mentioned in the hadith is well beyond that. Is to love a person for no reason but for the sake of Allah. So how do you love a person for the sake of Allah? Because you see, you look at that person and you see that he's manifesting the fundamentals of Islam, the akhlaq of Islam. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger in that person. So you love him. Not because he is related, not because there is any benefit from that person. And in the hadith, في صحيح الجامع الصحيح, أوثق عرى الإيمان الموالاة في الله والمعاداة في الله والحب في الله والبغض في الله. The strongest ties of Iman is to have allegiance for the sake of Allah and to have your enemies for the sake of Allah, to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. Again, you love a person because that person is pious. He is a good Muslim in your eyes. He is dedicated. He is committed. Every time you go to the masjid, he is there. He is helpful to the other Muslims. He is generous to the other Muslims. So you think that person revolves around the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger and committing to Islam. Hence you love that person. And in the hadith that we may have mentioned a few months before, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ. 7 categories that shall be shaded by the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter when there is no shade but the shade of Allah. And one of the categories is two people, رَجُلَان, two people, of course, that also two sisters loving each other for the sake of Allah. تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ. They loved each other for the sake of Allah. They meet for the sake of Allah. And they depart for the sake of Allah. And in a hadith, a man was set into a journey to visit a friend in another village. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel on the path, so in a form of a man. So he asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to visit my brother in Allah, so and so, in the next village. And he said, هَلْ لَكَ مِنْ هَلْ لَهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ نِعْمَةٌ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تَرْجُوهَا أَوْ تَرُبُّهَا. Are you hoping that you'll get some worldly benefit from that person? He said, no. قَالَ لَا إِلَّا أَنِّي أُحِبُّهُ فِي اللَّهِ. No, but I love that person for the sake of Allah. Then the angel told him, إن الله أحبك كما أحببت. رواه مسلم. So a person visiting his brother in Allah for the sake of Allah got a message by the angel of Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that because you love him for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you back. And in another hadith, من إذا أحب أحدكم أخاه في الله فليعلمه فإنه أبقى في الألفة وأثبت في المودة. If you love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should tell them so as you continue to have that love between you. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. So far we talked about two of the three qualities: أن يحب الله ورسوله أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger more than anyone else, and to love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that if you love a person for the sake of Allah, tell them so. أحبك في الله. I love you for the sake of Allah. There is a great ثواب and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your hearts even closer. The third quality is again a test for the very first quality of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else. وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. One of the qualities of to find the sweetness of Iman. Once someone is within Iman, then they will hate to go back to kufr, to infidelity. There is no price that person would receive to go back to kufr. وَالْعِيَابُ بِاللَّهِ. Even there is no threat, and the fire is the most feared punishment in this world and in the hereafter. So even like in the Surah Al-Buruj, when the believers started fire in pits and trenches for them, and they gave them the choice to go back to kufr or to be thrown in the fire. إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُود وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُود. Then they chose the fire. And in this hadith it says the same. That person will hate to go back to kufr as they hate to be thrown in the fire. Hating kufr is obvious. I'm sure you would say, I don't want. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to Islam. Why should I go back into kufr? But remember that as shaytan, he has steps. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow into the footsteps of a shaytan. Why? Because a shaytan will try to deviate you little by little. He will convince you of doing without some of the sunnah or the tasbih or the good deeds you do. Once that is achieved, then shaytan will try to convince that person to do small haram, small sins. And slowly, slowly, bigger sins, major sins, until that person is so far from the iman and so close to kufr. And then in this case, it would be very easy to lead that person into kufr. So remember, to hate kufr, or to hate to return to kufr after the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really to hate the sins, to hate ignorance after knowledge, to hate to leave part of the things you do for the sake of Allah, to hate, to see major sins and small sins. You hate deviation to be misguided after being guided. To hate any sort of sin, of course. كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. We all commit sins, and the best are those who repent very quickly and do not insist. ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. We should not insist on the sins. Otherwise, if we insist, then there is another sin and another one, and then a bigger sin, and then a major sin, and then kufr is not very far. Steadfast on iman. After loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, after loving people for the sake of Allah, you should also hate to go back on your iman into kufr, same way that being thrown into the hellfire. And في رواية النسائي وأن توقد نار عظيمة فيقع فيها أحب إليه من أن يشرك بالله شيئا. To start a huge fire and to be thrown into that huge fire is better than going back to kufr wa liyadu billah. This may have been the choice of your brothers in Syria when they decided to stand for their Islamic principles. And the same may have happened in Egypt. And people say, oh, why this, they expose themselves to be killed. And that situation is really a matter for Islam to be withdrawn from the lives of the Muslims. Brothers, without going into details, think about that. And وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. To accept something today, and the problem with this ummah, beyond Syria and beyond Egypt and beyond anywhere else, is that we accepted to live the life of non-Muslims, the life of kufr, the life that judgment is not based on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor is it based on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam is integrated into some prayers. And if you are more dedicated, if you go to Fajr in some countries, you are labeled. That is too much. Some of the principles of Islam are fought. It is today, dear brothers and sisters, that we should stand, the ummah, by the will of Allah, in a much better position than ever been before. And we cannot turn our backs and say, we can wait. It is fitna. We cannot do that, etc. We should stand with our iman and Islam. We should defend our deen. We should defend our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our love to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind you, ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يرجع في الكفر بعد إذ هداه الله كما يكره أن يلقى في النار. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger more than anyone else, to love a person nothing but for the sake of Allah, and to hate to return to kufr after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you, as you hate to be thrown into the hellfire. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Allahumma arina al-haqq haqqan wa arzuqna itiba'ah wa arina al-batila batilan wa arzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد بهم سوءا فاقصمه وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم احفظ الأقصى من دنس يهود، اللهم احفظ الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم هيئ له رجالا يدافعون عنه يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين، اللهم انصرهم في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في سوريا، اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في العراق، اللهم ثبتهم على الحق واحقن دماءهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام في مصر، اللهم انصر الإسلام على العلمانية وعن المجرمين والكفرة والفسقة والقتلة يا أرحم الراحمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. ما في الصلاة.